you, man of God. Praise God. Amen. How many people are happy to be in the house of God today? Are you excited to be in the house of God? Surely? Are you really excited? Just wave to the Lord. Tell him, I'm excited to be in the house of God. See, the Bible says that one day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And when we come into the house of God, you know, we have the privilege of linking with brothers and sisters and worshiping the Lord together. There's nothing that we can compare or we can put in comparison to that. Praise be to God. Amen. And so I'm excited. I look forward for Sunday. If not for anything, just to come and worship with brothers and sisters, lifting up our hands together as we worship the name of the Lord. Amen. It is indeed a blessing and an honor. Christine, you still there? Can we do what we agreed? Just one? Come here. Some of you don't know Christine. Christine is my friend. And it's like a daughter to me. And I surprised her this morning. I want her to sing for us a song. Amen. You can do it, right?
Praise the Lord. Okay. Like Pastor said, you surprised me this morning and asked me to sing. So there's a song that came to me, and this song has gotten me through some very tough times. And it reminded me that God sometimes lets stuff happen to you in life, because there's a bigger picture to it. I feel as if God prepares each and every person who's in his kingdom for a testimony. I think that there's a reason as to why I experienced some things that I did. So there's a song that came to me. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, you are the hope in our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. Counselor, infinite keeper, spirit we long to embrace, you offer healing when hearts have hopelessly lost away. Oh, we've hopelessly lost away. Hey, you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You offer healing when hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You offer healing when hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way.
What a talent, Christine. What a talent you are. And God will mightily use you. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful when we come into the house of God, because we all have different talents, different giftings. And that's how the Lord makes the body, so that every organ is different from the other. And as I was telling you the other day, is that every joint, remember what I demonstrated with Brother Gideon, when everybody perfectly fits in what God has called them to do and does everything and perfectly and in an excellent way, whatever the Lord has delegated for you to do, then we are able to supply through the joints that link us to each other. I would never sing like Sister Christine. Neither of you maybe would sing like her. I would never do the things, certain things, the way you do them. Amen. But it is out of your perfect, fitting perfectly in what you do, that when I'm linked up with you, my brother, when I'm linked up with you, my sister, I'm able to supply to you. And that is exactly how the body of Christ is going to grow. Praise be to God. I thank God for the different ministries that the Lord has given us. If you didn't come here last Sunday when Minister Julius was preaching about love, you need to see Sister Lorraine after Brother... Sister Lorraine is just laughing at me. When Brother Alan buys those CDs, okay, you need to get a copy of what Brother Julius ministered last Sunday. See, the whole thing about ministry, when I stand up here, we are trained and we are taught about the things of God so that we may be equipped to go into the marketplaces and tell others about what we learn. When we practice what we learn, we are able to perfectly fit in what God has called us to do. And so you and I, when we fit and do whatever we've been taught to do, then we grow the body of Christ. When I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not just talking about our local body at ECC. I'm talking about the universal church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so do not look down on yourself. Do not look on what people tell you. People don't define you. Nobody is able to define you. But we are defined by the masses of God. It is God, through his divine creation, orchestrated your being even long before you were formed in the womb of your mother. Praise be to God. Long before your mother and father and your father and mother decided to come together to create, to bring, to form you in the inside the womb of your mother, God orchestrated, formed your DNA, designated and designed everything. Your charisma, praise God, hallelujah. Your height and everything that composes you, so that you could fit for the perfect plan that the Lord has delegated for you in the body of Christ. Praise be to God. It is so exciting. We've been sharing about expanding. There's a thing that we had since the beginning of this year, and we've been continuing to build on this. Minister after minister has been coming here and building on that. We build on it because God, I believe, in the beginning of this year, he spoke to me some specific things that are found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 54, that it is time for us to regard the place of our tents, to prepare the place of our tents, and to move forward, you know, to expand the place of our dwelling. And when we talk about preparing and expanding, I'm not just only talking about our local body here at ECC. I'm talking about your personal lives. Amen? Let us, because what God plans to do, even in any, when the move of God is at work, even in a local body, he's also at move. Even in your individual lives. I believe, God, that when we come to December, that you would have moved forward even in your finances. Praise God. You'll have moved forward in your career. You'll have moved forward in your family devotions. You'll have moved forward in the way you study the Bible. You'll have moved forward in your prayer life. You'll have moved forward in certain aspects that you've been struggling with, because there is an anointing of moving forward. Are you listening to me, church? There is an anointing that has been placed this year over this local body, that when we get connected with this body, you are definitely going to move forward in a certain way. God is going to bring people your way, divine connections. You might be thinking of starting a business, and God is going to link up some things, some people in your way, so that you can move forward. But there is some cost to pay. There are certain things that we have to do in order for us to move. And Sometimes I speak about this and I think I rethink and rethink about it in my head that I'm speaking over this over and over again, and I'm repeating myself, and I hope I'm not boring you. That there's some cost to pay for us to move from a place called here to a place called there. Somebody called me and told me, "Oh, Pastor, you're still preaching about that message of coming from a place called here to a place called there." There's some cost to pay. Praise God. And a minister of the gospel stood on this pulpit and told us that we have to undergo some pain. There's some things that we'll, in order for that to delegate certain things and move certain things from a place called here to a place called there, there's going to be involved, some pain is going to be involved. It is not going to be handed to us on a silver plate, praise be to God. And today, we've talked so much, I don't want to go back, you know, so much into what we've been sharing because of our time. But today I want to talk about divine order. Somebody say divine order. As we move forward, it's very important for us to understand the divine order. What is divine order? When we talk about order, you know, and when we talk about divine order, I know sometimes I personally, I cannot help but think about my life. How orderly am I? How are things really working in order? And if my wife would just allow me to speak of some things that are really pending in my house that are not in order right now. Yeah? There is a table that is on our living room that is almost broken that needs my attention. Hallelujah. There is a microwave just broke up 2 days ago. There's a fridge that needs to be replaced. Certain things that needs to be worked on. And when we talk about divine order, sometimes it's very easy to jump in the natural and think about the things that are not going well in your life. Things that are not in order. Praise God. And many times when we think about those things, you know what happens? We beat ourselves. I feel guilty every time I step on my living room, and I know that is my responsibility. As a matter of fact, I picked up all my tools, put them in my truck so that I can fix it. It's something that I can do. It is my responsibility to do, but I don't have to. I've not been having time, but I pledge to do it. But guess what? When I step in that living room, every time I feel guilty. Oh, how does my wife feel about it? She has told me to fix this because it might drop on my little boy. And I need to do it. So sometimes when things are going out of order, and when you talk about divine order, it is very easy for us to jump onto the things that are not ordering in our lives. And we feel and beat ourselves because we have not accomplished number A. We have not accomplished number B. We have not accomplished number C. We have not accomplished number a list of things that we have not accomplished. And we feel guilty and we beat ourselves. Praise be to God. But here I want to communicate to you this morning, my beloved brothers and sisters, that it is not so in the order of God. I thank God for what Brother Julius preached about here, because sometimes, you know, we try to make it by our own effort. I try to come to church early and I beat myself. If I don't beat the 11th hour, and you don't even know what pastor is going to tell you, and you beat yourself. Failed to read the Bible 2 days ago and you've been beating yourself. What does God, you're looking at God with a long whooping or a belt ready to smack you because you just didn't read your Bible yesterday. Forgot to pray yesterday and you've been beating yourself. Oh, you know what? I forgot to pray and God is going to come and whoop me. We are not going to serve God out of a guilt conscience. Are you listening to me? Divine order is different from what we do in the natural. And I'm going to bring it to you and you're going to understand very, very clearly. Take for instance, divine order is the same as divine government. Somebody say divine government. And in any government, like in our natural governments, we have principles that have been set by the governments. And those principles are set so that they can benefit that government. For example, the principles that we have, like in any given government, we have like laws that have been passed out that are supposed to be obeyed by the citizens. Now, I want you to hear, listen to me very clearly. Those laws have been set to govern, to help the government go forward. Amen? Take, for instance, the traffic laws. How many of you notice the traffic signs that are on the road every time as you drive? Like you came to church, how many of you were able even to look at the traffic signs? How many times do you drive on the road and you see the traffic signs? Yes, thank you. Huh? Wrong way? use shoulder only, stop, right lane, pedestrians prohibited. Do you really take time to notice these traffic signs that are on the road? Now listen, the traffic signs. Listen, when I came to America, I just freshly came from Kenya. Now, how many of you know that during those days, I don't know about it now, traffic signs were just symbols of beauty. If there was a stop sign, nobody dared to stop. Have you ever dared to stop the days when you were in Kenya? Did you dare to stop at a traffic sign? Actually, if you dare to stop, somebody would come and bump you on the back. So when I came up here, there was a four-way stop sign. And you know what? I guess things operated the way they operated elsewhere. And guess what, man? I remember I was on 121. They didn't even have a highway then. You had to go through a service route. That was the only way that linked up Arlington to Grapevine. I don't even know what I'm going to do to Grapevine. And man, I hit on the gas. And I passed all the four-way stop signs, my goodness. Now today I think about it and I say, Jesus, you protected me. Because I could have killed somebody. Praise be to God. You know, because in Kenya, we never used to obey traffic signs. But here we have traffic signs and they are set there for a reason. Are you listening to me? When I was coming this way, obviously, I was thinking about what I was going to speak today. And I saw a sign, actually, which is not among these signs here, that says, obey all traffic rules. Have you seen that? Yes. Have you seen that? Yes. There's somebody who's looking at me. Is there any sign like that? Obey all traffic rules. Okay, when you're passing through the school zone, especially when the lights are flashing, what are you supposed to do? No cell phone, reduce speed to 20 miles an hour. Why do you think the government does that? Huh? Safety, thank you. Why do you think they think safety? Because they are putting an investment on your kids, okay? They are the future taxpayers for tomorrow. If you kill one of these kids, you have robbed the government of future income, okay? That is the mindset of the government. It is not so that you can, you know what? The government thinks about you in terms of your relationship with the government today is because of the income you give it today to the government. An average American, listen to me, an average American, when we include the sales taxes that you pay on your groceries, when we think about the estate taxes, maybe Julius can give me this statistics well. The average American pays about 30% of your income. Total, I mean, included everything, or even more than that. Now, if you earn $40,000 a year, multiply 30% by $40,000, how much you give to the government? It is a good chunk of change. And I bet you the government will do anything so that you can live forever, so that you can sustain and grow it. Amen? The government will be paralyzed if we don't pay taxes to it. Are you listening to me, church? It's very, very important that you understand the precepts and the concepts that are found in the Word of God, because all truths are parallel. And so when they say reduce your speed to 30 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour, no cell phone, the government knows that if you kill that kid, I'm not going to exist tomorrow. I'm making an investment to educate this kid so that in the future he can have a good job. And I know when I'm making this investment, paying for their lunches and paying for the teachers to train them, I know that I'm waiting for a return in the future. And therefore, the government is going to be guaranteed that it is going to progress. It is going to continue. That's why those rules have been set on the highway. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you know the mirror that is on the mirror that is in your car? When the manufacturer of your car made that mirror, it was to assist you see the cars that are behind you. But now, you've been using that mirror because you're a law breaker. Huh? You're doing 90 miles an hour and you're checking to see whether there's a police cop just flashing the lights behind you. Is that not what you do? I've done it before. Never registered your vehicle on time, and every time, as a matter of fact, there was one time I was really trailing on a small street, and I had not renewed my registration, And I was saying, God, please help me not, for I don't want to see any policeman behind me. And I was using that mirror, and I saw a policeman, surely. And we were coming to a stop. And I know when we come to a stop now, I have given him all the ample time to punch on his computer and see that my vehicle is not registered. I detoured. I had to. You're laughing because you never do it. Sorry. There's a sinner here standing in front of you. You are all holy. You never do that. But I detoured because I didn't want to get in trouble with the police. And the next thing I was telling my wife, we need to register this car seriously because the devil almost caught me. There are rules and principles that have been set so that the government can be in control. And much the same way in the kingdom of God, we have divine order. And divine order, in a divine order, I told you, divine order is the same as divine government. Amen? What is divine government? Divine government is when the word of God is activated and working, you're working through the word of God. When the word of God is working through you, then you have divine government. And in so doing, you are in a position to do what God has called you properly. And when everybody understands that the divine government exists in their lives, they will participate and work what God has called them to do, and they will be able to supply to each other through the joints that link us together. Are we together? Divine order is applying. And I remember Sister Noel preached about the principles one day here on the podcast. Sometimes I take note to what we hear. It is not good to forget what we hear. Let me tell you, the principles of God will work every single moment we apply them. Amen? And in the church, listen to me. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for now there is no condemnation to all that belong to who? To Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to you as long as you're a born again believer, born again, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. There is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ. In other words, we have divine mercy operating in our lives. So in other words, what I'm trying to say, sometimes we might be disorderly and we might even miss to follow the principles of God in the church. It doesn't mean that the mercy of God will be withdrawn just because we fail to obey those principles. Are you understanding? The mercy of God will be poured over us. But the fact remains that the fact that we fail to obey the principles of God, there are certain things that will not be working in our lives. Even though we are enjoying mercy, even though there is grace that abounds, that is abiding in us, even though that everything might be looking so well and we are enjoying the mercy of God, when we cry out to the Lord, he's going to throw out his mercy upon us. But let me tell you, verily, verily, listen to me. If we do not obey, if we do not hinder or get glued to the principles in the word of God, things will not work out for us. And that's why we'll be struggling. That's why we'll be beating about the walls just because we have failed to uphold the principles of the word of the Lord in our lives. Praise be to God. In other words, the church right now, what the church is doing, we have mistaken the mercy of God for the principles that God has set for his word. We have mistaken the mercy of God for the order that is supposed to be in the church. Are you listening to me? And when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about you. I don't want you to reflect it yourself. It is about the universal church of Jesus Christ, I included. We cannot mistake the mercy of God for the order of God in the church. Are you listening to me? I wish somebody can listen. I wish somebody can get this. We cannot mistake God's mercy for his approval. The fact that, for example, let's talk about a subject that many people don't want us to talk about. Let me tell you about finances. In Malachi 3, chapter number 3 to 10 to 11, the Bible says, pay all your tithes, bring all your tithes to the house of the Lord so that there may be what? There may be meat in the house of the Lord, right? And after we obey this principle, the Lord says something. That test me in this and see if I will not rebuke the devourer. Who is the devourer? Huh? Who is a devourer? It is the enemy. So let me tell you, there are certain things, there could be an abundance of mercy in your life. But the fact that we do not uphold this principle in Malachi 3, 10 and 11, it will never apply for us. It will never work it out for us. The Bible, bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What does that tell us? There are some devourers that we are not able to rebuke. It is only the Lord who will rebuke them when you obey this principle. Is the Lord going to kill you? No. Maybe not. If you don't pay your tithes, maybe the Lord will not come and kill you. Why? Because his mercy is plentiful. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you pray to him, he will respond. But the fact that you do not obey this principle, then he will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. And he will not, if you don't obey this principle, he will not rebuke the devourer for what? For your sake. And he says, he shall not destroy the fruits. And then he says, and he shall not destroy. In other words, he shall destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither, and your vine shall cast out fruit before the time. In other words, when you don't obey this principle, it is not going to work it out for us. You still love me? It is the word of the Lord. Let me tell you guys, I am speaking this to us. I'm not speaking this to you. The thing that motivates me to pay my tithes, church, it is not because I have this imaginary figure of God staying in his seat of mercy with a whooping or with a belt ready to strike me because I never paid my tithes. That is not, let me tell you, that is not my mentality when I'm paying my tithes. But my mentality or my motivation to pay my tithes is to receive this blessing. It is to see, is this for the Lord to intervene in my affairs, to rebuke the devourer on my life. It is for him to open up the floodgates of heaven. It is for me not to stay under a curse. Even though grace is abiding in me, even though mercy abides in me, yet I want to see the production, the reality of that principle work in my life. And so is every principle that is in the Word of God. Are you listening to me? God has an intention, just like the government has an intention, to invest in your children and in your life so that you can pay 30% of your taxes to the government. That is how the government is going to progress. The kingdom of God depends on, for example, on this principle right here. He says, so that there may be what? Meat in the house. There's no way we don't tax you. When you come to, we don't require that, oh, this is a church tax that goes directly to the Empowerment Christian Center or to a certain ministry or to another ministry. By the way, if you realize, I'm very, very keen on what I do here on the pulpit concerning finances. I know there are churches that do fundraising every day. Every Sunday there's a fundraising to buy something. There's a fundraising to buy the other. There's a fundraising to buy the other. But Brother Nicholas, I'm from the old school that if only I would paint up a picture to my brothers and sisters and show them that they are obligated to give to the house of God as a concept of obedience to a principle, I'm from that school that God is in return going to bless them and they're not going to give because somebody told them to give. Amen? Like when you come walk into those doors, just as the prophet of old says that I just decided I cannot go to the house of God empty handed, that you're going to grasp that principle and you're going to do it not just because you're thinking that God is going to whoop you because of your failure not to do it, but you're just going to do it because you're obligated to do it. The kingdom, the growth of the ministry, the growth of the kingdom of God depends not only on the one single person in any given congregation, but the collectiveness of the function of every single organ in a body for the body to grow. Are you listening to me? And so is the operational concepts that is in every principle in the Word of God, not just finances. You shall love your God with the whole of your soul, with the whole of your heart, with the whole of your mind. And just as you do this, you shall also love your neighbor. Praise be to God. The greatest commandments. This is what we learned last Sunday. That means, who is your neighbor? We were taught last Sunday about who our neighbor is. Our neighbor is anybody who is in need and requires us to jump in and meet that need. So I'm not going to do that just because there is a God in heaven that if I don't bless this brother or this sister, that God is going to lash out his belt on me. But I'm just going to do it because it is my duty to do it. Praise be to God. I am doing this because I want to grow the body of Christ. I'm doing this because I'm obligated to do it. I'm doing this because it is the right thing to do. Are you listening to me? I am doing this because it is the principle that operates in the kingdom of God. And if everybody takes on the principle and obeys that principle and delights in those principles, then we are going to do them. And in so doing, this kingdom of God is going to grow. Hallelujah. So certain things that we are going to do, we are going to, from us to come from a place where we are right now to a place of progressiveness. There's going to be an understanding of how the kingdom of God operates, that the kingdom of God is a government. And the government of God is the activity of the word of God freely moving within us, and the spirit of God overflows out of our willingness. Not just because of somebody who told us to do something and we failed. Let me tell you, if we serve God out of a guilt consciousness, we fail many times. Because you know what? We are going to exert so much effort. And that's why the Bible says that we can never purchase our salvation through our works. If we would come to God, if we are made righteous before the Lord because of our self-righteousness, of our effort, then nobody would qualify. But just because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true love he gave his only begotten son, that through the concept of believing and accepting him as Lord and Savior, then we are made the righteousness of God. It is not because of your effort. It is not because of your right doing. Actually, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that our self-righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. Amen? So we will never, ever come to God. God will never accept our self-righteousness as a way of coming to the Lord. But we come to the Lord as a result of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And he said that through his ultimate sacrifice and through accepting him as Lord and Savior and accepting the plan of God, through faith, we've received the righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. I now can come into full access. I've gained full access to the Lord, not because of my own effort, not because of the things that I've done, not because of my speaking nicely, not because of my eloquence, not because of the things that I've performed as a man, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen. Every single one of you who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ have full access as anybody else who has accepted the Lord. And we can boldly come into the Holy of Holies and we can call him Abba, Father. Not because of our activity, not because of the things. We didn't do nothing to earn our salvation. Hallelujah. And that is the same principle that the Lord wants to apply even as we serve him. That we are not going to serve him. We are not going to put so much effort and guilt consciousness as it is in the natural. When things are out of order, we tend to worry. We tend to think, oh God, how is everything breaking apart around me? But in the Lord, God wants us to have that obligation that it is my rightful duty to do this, to serve the Lord with the whole of my heart. And nobody is going to come and chase you, make phone calls. Oh, you know what? Why did you not do this? Why did you not do the other? Why did you not serve God in this area? Why did you not pay your tithe? Why did you not even give your offerings? Why did you not give your first fruits? But we are going to serve the Lord out of this concept that it is my duty to serve the Lord. It is my duty to come to the house of God on Sunday. And if I'm able to go to my work and clock in at 8 o'clock, if I am late, you know, I face wrath from my bosses. They might even write me up. But when it comes to the house of God, I am going to go to the house of God early, sanctify that place with a prayer. I'm going to do whatever I'm called to do, what God calls me to do, not because Pastor Tony compels me to do it, not because of the elders of the church have set up a policy in the church that everybody must in the line, not because the women's department leader, called us to do certain things, but I'm going to serve the Lord because I'm obligated to do it.
I'm going to do it because it is the right thing to do. I'm going to bless somebody because it is the right thing to do. I'm going to pay my tithes because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to pay, give my offerings. I'm going to be a blessing to a brother. I'm going to conduct ministry because it is the right thing to do, church. Are you listening to me? I told you over and over again that you're a minister. Everybody in here is a minister. For God has given us a specific grace to perform a specific task in the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? Church, are you listening? You have a specific grace to perform a specific task, Hannah. A specific gracing you have, a certain measure of grace has been poured unto your spirit so that you can do a specific task in the body of Christ. And you will do that, you perform that task not because somebody compels you to do it, but you will do it because you know in your knower that God has called me to be an intercessor, and I will have to intercede. Whether somebody is in the church, whether somebody is not in the church, I'm going to lock myself in that building. I'm going to lock myself in that closet, and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord, and I'm going to call on behalf of my brothers, and I'm going to call on behalf of my sisters, because it is not right that they undergo what they are going through. It is God that has called me to stand in the gap for them, and until something happens in their lives, I'm not quitting. Just because God has obligated to do it. Man, let me tell you, church, this pulpit here, it doesn't make the preacher in me. It is not even Pastor Tony that causes me to preach. Am I messing with your ideology or the way you view things? It is not the 501(c) that causes us to minister the gospel. You don't need a title to minister or to show love to somebody. See, what we learn in our text, in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 8 to 12, the Bible says that God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and, you know, the fivefold ministries for the equipping of the body. It is to equip you so that you can go ahead and do the work of the ministry. Because every single one of you has been called to perform a specific ministry. Somebody say ministry. Can you say I'm a minister? Say I'm a minister. Say it again. If you didn't say it, can you say it this time? Say I'm a minister. Because I'm looking at you. The thing is, you know, we are not a very, very big church, so I'm able to see whether your lips are moving or not. That's why I'm saying if you didn't say it again, just to see whether you're going to say it. Everybody, as we were told also last Sunday, you've been called for a specific task to do and to perform in the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have been called to be ministers, to minister to the Lord. In the Old Testament, as I told you earlier, that they used to perform sacrifices of blood and goats, and there was legalism, and there was everything that they did in the Old Testament. But now we are in the new administration, in the new covenant. We have a new administration whereby we offer to God sacrifices that are bloodless. When you come into the house of God, you lift up your hands and offer sacrifices of praises. You don't do that because I'm going to turn around and say, oh, Sister Joyce is not lifting her hands today. What's going on? No. But you lift up those holy hands because you're obligated to offer bloodless sacrifices to the Creator, the greatest King ever who made heaven and earth. You're obligated to do it. And you have the hunger and the thirst to come into the house of God. And if you want to kneel down before your God and cry out and tell him, oh God, you've been so precious. You know the devil sends out hounds of demons to come and kill you. If only you knew, if only God would open up your perception and see how many demons are assigned to come and destroy you, you would come and kneel down and tell God, I'm thankful because of your divine protection. I thank you because of your angels that you dispatch daily upon my life. If not to protect me on the highways, to give me a sound mind, to make the right decisions, to make friends and to serve you. God sends out divine help to come and help you. Are you listening to me, church? Very quickly. Very, very important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In order for us to have divine victory, we will have to align ourselves with the divine order. There's no way we'll ever have divine victory if we decide not to follow divine order. So it is very important for us to get glued to this word, not out of a guilty conscience. I will study this word because it contains the principles that I must study in order for me to make divine results. If I want to make divine production, then I'll have to know this word because in it, it contains divine principles which have to be followed. The fact that there are principles here, then you don't know them and you don't apply yourself to them, it will fail every single moment. Not because God will not make them succeed just because you didn't follow them. Are you trying to see what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this. It is only the truth, and I had a preacher say, it is only the truth that you know that will set you free. But the fact that you don't follow the truth that is in here and you don't know it, God will not, you know, shortchange others just because, oh, Julius learned about this principle and so I'll bless him because, you know, this sister has been so lazy or this brother has been so ignorant, so busy with other things. I will still bless them anyway, even though they never obeyed it. No, it will not work like that. It will not work for you, but it will work for him because he knows it. And it will not work for them, not because they fail to read it, but it is there, but they fail to read it. In other words, the truth will always operate, whether you know it or you don't know it. So it is very important for us to know this truth, because it is only that truth that you know that will set you free. The fact that you don't know that truth will still operate anyway. It will still remain as an authentic principle in the Word of God, without even the fact that whether you know it or don't know it. So it is very important. Read it. I'll read this word. Don't read it out of guilty consciousness. Man, I've been telling you, get a tape. If you're like me, I don't get time, you know, to spend time to read the word, get a tape. You can even download the Bible from your phone. In any language. If you don't want it in English, download it in your own language. If it's going to be clear. And click it when you're traveling on the road. Tune it on. Tune to radio stations that speak about the word of God. Listen to authentic ministers of the gospel. Amen? There are many authentic ministers out there. David Jeremiah, listen to David Jeremiah a lot. You know, I love that man. You know, they're authentic ministers. You know, get glued to those people who teach about the word of God. You know, Creflo Dollar. I listen to Creflo Dollar. You know, some of you may not really agree with him. I used to think that he was a proudful man, but I love the man. You know, if he shares the principle of God that blesses me, I'll look outside that. I'll concentrate on what he feeds me with. Amen. You see, that's where we go wrong. You're looking at Pastor Tony. Oh, this is a guy who does just kawaida things, you know, just like me. But it is the principle that I'm speaking right now. It's life-giving. If you can just concentrate. Don't forget about my out-of-order life. Forget it. You know, forget about the things you know about me. Focus on the word that I'm giving you, because the Spirit of God right now is using my mouth to communicate truths to you. And if you can take those truths, they can benefit you. And you can grow the body of Jesus Christ. You can advance your life. Don't look beside that. Beside that, let's talk about it when we come out of church. You know, and we can debate about it. And you can counsel me. And you can help me. But right now, this mouth, this one here that you can see, is being used by God to communicate life truths to you. Are you listening to me? That's how we are going to grow. That's how we are going to grow. You know? Amen? The Lord accomplishes anything here on earth out of divine order he himself has set. Like, for example, creation. I wrote about this. I don't even want to speak about it right now. God has set, you know, principles since the foundations of the earth that have been ongoing. He gave power to the seed. God doesn't have to come and give power to the seed all the time. You know, you use a seed, whether it is seed money, whether it is a real seed of a grain of wheat and sow it on the ground, it is going to bring production. Why? Because God has given it. God set some principles long time ago. If you don't sow that seed and hold it in your hand forever, it will still remain as one seed. But for the power to be activated within that seed, you have to sow it on the ground so that the power can be instigated. It is kind of like a catalyst. When you put a catalyst, there are certain chemicals, you have to add another chemical in order for a chemical reaction to happen. For a growth and production to grow, you have to take that one seed that you have received. The word of God is a seed also. And you can also receive a seed as a word from a man of God. And you can plow it on the ground. And it will be the power within that seed that God activated and put it within will be activated when you put it on the ground. Are we together, church? Very, very important principle. There are certain things that God, whether we like it or not, he instigated. He put in certain things and he ordered certain ways of things to be done here on earth right from the foundation of creation. Amen? God doesn't need to adjust himself to his principles, but we need to adjust ourselves to the principles of God. Very quickly, there's a concept that I read here, and I Googled this, by the way. This is not original. I actually printed this from Google. I Googled this, and I liked it, and I think it is important that I read it to you. It is by an author called Marsha Barnes. I've listened to her commentaries sometimes on radio, and sometimes I read them, but her name is Marsha Barnes. You can go actually read it yourself. And this is what he talks about, divine order. Are you ready to listen? Okay. As much as we are understanding this concept of God in control, many times we hear a message or think about order in our lives. We think about cleaning the garage, for example. That's what I need to clean my garage, actually. And the enemy would love to beat us up with the tangible things in our lives being in disarray. Okay, I'm going to go. Okay. Another perversion of this principle is that the enemy wants us to believe that coming to this new plateau, which includes divine order, means that we have to be more and more perfect. That not only does the garage needs to be cleaned, but God sits on the throne with a more exacting view of what we need to do or to please him. If we take this particular perverse view of our own lives, we will see God as a taskmaster. I just explained that to you, with a precise list of those things in the natural that need to be accomplished. And we fail to do what we believe he has said to us, we will be displeased. So we set up a series of handles that we need to jump every day to make sure that we have pleased him. This perversion is the strongest. This perverse, it is actually a contradiction to what we believe, what the operation of the order of God and the order, the disorder in our lives. This perversion, the Marsha says, this perversion is the strongest in people whose earthly fathers were strict and exacting, or those who don't really know or understand the father's love for them. They feel as though they have to prove their worthiness through achievement and performance and earn God's love. And in order to come higher, their performance has to increase. Because this is a perversion, the result is a greater bondage to self-consciousness and condemnation as condemnation increases. This will wear you out. Now listen to what she says about Jesus, and as an authority who adjudicated the order, the divine order of God. Now listen, it says this, Jesus being the epitome of the divine order. This is found in Acts 10, verse number 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You can read that from Mark chapter number 1 to 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In other words, Jesus, in adjudicating the divine order, he calls people unto himself. And that's why we are being stirred up into the things of the Lord, so that we can, if we can see what God has called us to do, praise be to God, we can run into it and we can embrace what God has given us, has called us to do. And if we can excellently do that which you have done, we can produce. We can supply to the joints that link us to one another. And thus, the body of Christ will grow. Praise be to God. And they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority. Now, this is the other principle. He taught and brought truth. That's why we minister to you. The fivefold ministries have been given to the church. That's why Julius will stand here to teach you about, to teach us about love. Amen? That's why Pastor Karanjo stand on this pulpit to teach us about the fundamental doctrines of Christ. Amen? The end result is for us to benefit. We are going to learn about love. And when you learn about love, then you need to go out in the marketplaces and practice it and teach others about the same concept of love. Loving your neighbor. Amen? Let me tell you, those messages are supposed to bring deliverance. I was expecting, and I hope maybe it happened, that if there was somebody, maybe even from a far country, or within the local body, or within Dallas, that you don't even speak to, after listening to that message, it's supposed to activate you to go and reconcile with that brother. Because that's the way you live the word of God. Amen? Are you listening to me, church?
Okay, I have to wind up, man. I have to wind up today early. He taught and brought truth. Mark 1:23. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone." This is speaking to the demons now. "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. I come and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this?" Okay, he cast out demons and he went ahead doing the work of the Lord. But listen to this. There are several things that he does. He brought about healing where there was sickness and disease. And this is exactly what we are supposed to do. He prayed and stayed connected to the Father. Amen. Listen, John 5:19. This is the climax of what I'm telling you from Masha. This is exactly what the Bible says. John 5:15. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself." Do you listen to that? You cannot do anything by yourself. Amen. In other words, God wants us to be available. Are you listening to me? Divine government will only operate if you are available. For we are not going to accomplish anything by our own self-righteousness or self-effort. God wants us to be available, because even as Jesus was in the day, he said, "I cannot judge unless I hear what the Father is telling me to speak concerning these things." Are you listening to me, church? So God is calling you. Steve, it doesn't matter whether you got born again a month ago. Am I available? There is a brother in need. If you're available, God is going to use you as a tool. And thus you'll be accomplishing the purpose for which God has made you to do. It is not because of your effort. God wants you to be just available so that he can use his power through you to accomplish or to minister to somebody else. Amen? I have to finish this one here. Then Jesus answered to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the like manner." John 5:30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge." I told you about this. "As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Praise be to God. And this is divine order, being available. Not serving God out of a guilt consciousness. Amen? It is okay if you didn't bring money today. Don't beat yourself. Okay? Don't go beating up yourself. Oh, pastor is going to look at the record. Let me tell you, church, man. I tell you, man. I don't operate like other people. I'm not going to check on those records. I go through over the records of giving, of tithes and offerings, so that I can, the main goal, to pray for those that are struggling. If I see you, if I go through the list, you know, of tithes and giving, I don't see your name, I would wonder, what is going on? Maybe there is a hurdle that maybe I need to pray so that God can deliver you. But I will never come and open up my mouth and tell you, why are you condemning you? Why are you not doing this? I want God, if God can see you, how the obligation that you have, then you will know that we have needs in this church. Amen? Are you listening to me? Just as in your house, there are needs. You have to pay the electricity bill. You have to pay the water bill. You have to pay whatever, you know, the AC. We have to pay the rent for this building. I want you to take that obligation. As a matter of fact, I thank what Pastor Wilson does. If he doesn't see you like today or the other Sunday, and next Sunday you're coming, he'll be asking you, where is your offering? You didn't bring your offering last Sunday. Yeah? And sometimes you might think like it is ungodly, or he is pushing it the envelope really too much, but it is godly. If you come here several Sundays and you're attached to this body, then you're obligated to give your offerings and tithes, because we depend upon those tithes and offerings to pay for the bills in this house. This house does not get any other income from any other source. Okay? So I want you to feel obligated. Go with an envelope. If you know that you're not going to come next Sunday, it is godly to go with an envelope and put it in the mail. Send us your $20. Send us your $30. Because we will need that money to pay to offset the bills. And I don't want you to feel guilty about it. Feel obligated to do it, because it is the right thing to do. Amen? Do you still love me? I know when we talk about money, things are not really good. Can we stand on our feet? I cannot proceed any further. I just wanted to bring that concept that we know that divine, in the kingdom of God, there's a government. And just as the government sets up rules, like we saw the traffic signs, the government wants you to obey those rules because you have a relationship with the government. You have to pay its taxes so that it can pave the roads, so that it can take care of the seniors, so that it can do all those things that the government does. So it has an obligation to protect you. That's why you have to stop, because if you don't stop when it says stops, you're going to be killed. And guess what? The government is not going to get 30% of a person who earns about $60,000 a year. They need that income. In the same way, I don't think the government does that so that it can really penalize you, because if you fail to stop, maybe a policeman will come and give you a ticket. I don't think that's the way. But the government is doing this so that it can have some law and order within the government to secure that relationship that exists. And I believe in the same way, God wants us to be obligated to serve him because he has the growth of the kingdom of God in his mind. Amen? Praise be to God. Hold the hand of somebody standing next to you right now. In the name of Jesus. I would like you to see that as the link that links you. Think in your mind that is the link that has linked you to that brother as a body of, and forms the body of Christ. And I would like to ask yourself within your spirit, am I really, really positioning myself to produce, to function properly in my area of operation so that I can supply to this joint? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself these questions also. Have I really upheld the principles in the Word of God? Even though mercy abides, even though grace abides also in my life, but I really, really and truly, have I really taken in the principles of God? Are the principles of God in operation in my life? The government of God, is it operational in my life? Is the Word of God active in my life? Am I living that Word? When I hit these doors and go out and serve God, maybe as a nurse, serve God as a teacher, serve God as a Walmart cashier, serve God in whatever area, maybe in a gas station, whatever it is, taking care of an elderly person, do I really represent God in that area? Am I really an ambassador of the kingdom? Squeeze that connection harder in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that as many as are thinking about these words that we are speaking here today, this is life. And I pray that you shall cause us, Lord, even to not serve you out of guilt consciousness. We shall not serve you because we have been compelled to do it. We shall not serve you because, God, it is because everybody else is doing it and we feel offended because we are not doing it or we are missing the point. But, Lord, may you help us that we shall do it out of obligation, and that it cost you so much to give your life on the cross, to give us the righteousness, Father. You are never compelled. Lord, you prayed even on the Garden of Gethsemane, if it were your will for this cup to be passed. But you really prayed that it was not, that for your will not to really show up, but the Lord's will to supersede your desire and will. We pray the same, Lord, that we shall surrender to your will, that we shall be available, Lord, even to the work of the ministry. I pray that these children of God that you have put in Empowerment Christian Center will serve you with the whole of their hearts, not because they have been compelled, not because they feel like you're up there in heaven, Lord, and holding up a burden, or you're holding up a cane ready to strike them, but they shall serve you out of a love relationship. You love us so much, my God, and we cannot fail you. We cannot fail you. We will worship you. We will serve you, Lord, in and out of season. We will serve you when it feels like it, when it doesn't feel like serving you, when it feels even like it. We will serve you, Lord, because of what you have accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord, even to see others and to regard others as better than ourselves and to serve one another. Lord, help us to know that ministry is not, we are not going to serve God out of our titles or out of our registration of a ministry, but we shall serve you because ministry is just loving another person. It's just offering a crying shoulder to another person. It's just telling somebody that it's going to be okay. That's ministry. And help us to know that we can be serving God. Even today, we can decide to serve God today and fulfill
the purpose of Christ. Father, I speak your divine protection over these children, Lord. Whatever their hands shall find to do, I declare that it shall succeed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, and I bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You may have your seats as I welcome Julius too.